Smelling is a form of awareness. So the understanding that I've just given you, and the understanding that Aristotle works to elaborate through the end of Book 2, is only preparatory to asking the hard question, which is the question never gets answered specifically in the treatise on the soul, but is the important question, what is the nature of awareness? How is that to be explained? And Aristotle, in a sense, leaves Book 2, talks about it a little bit in Book 3, but leaves at the end of Book 2 the reader simply with the recognition of the fact that what we're talking about when we talk about perception is not simply the mode of being affected by the sensible form, but being affected awarely or consciously. In Book 3, then, Aristotle turns to the theory of mind. And mind appears not as a monitor that oversees perceptual activity and allows mere sensation to become conscious perception. Mind appears instead as simply the paradigm instance of consciousness, pure and simple. And on Aristotle's view, mind is the ability that we have to be aware of the world simply and purely without the mediation of any of the material elements that are required for perceptual capacity. In Book 12 of the Metaphysics, Aristotle describes mind as that which is most divine about the universe. And in doing so, he recognizes in some way, or he claims it in some way, the pinnacle of animal life. Pinnacle may be perhaps too hierarchical a way of describing it, but in some sense, the most characteristic and paradigmatic form of animal life is the kind of activity that's represented in consciousness, that is, in the awareness most specifically involved in thought. That's why, in Book 12 of the Metaphysics, in a chapter that is, in one sense, discrete and distinct from the discussion in the De Anima, but in another sense deeply connected to it, Aristotle describes the most divine activities as reproduction and thought. Reproduction because it is the way that animals have to most emulate the eternity of the divine. Thought because it is the way that animals, specifically human animals, have to experience the world in its most pure and unalloyed form. The capacity of human beings to think is also what it is that allows human beings to engage in lives that are characterized not simply by behavior, but by thoughtful behavior. That is, the capacity to think is what it is that allows us to think of humans as leading their lives and not simply, as we think at least is true of most of the, as we say, dumb animals, the lower animals, living their lives. It's that subject, what is involved in human beings leading their lives, that Aristotle turns to in the treatise on the ethics, and that's what we're going to talk about in the next lecture.
This ends Lecture 11.